biblical love. The greatest opportunity for fruitful ministry. Amen. Listen, it is a delight to be here. But just in case you think, I don't know what I'm talking about, go to Revelation chapter 2, because that's where we're preaching from, all right? Amen. Revelation chapter 2, Christ's message to the seven churches. Hear the church at Ephesus. It says, to the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you've tested those who say that they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. The biblical counseling movement is a dynamic movement simply because it simply wants to study the scriptures, to let the scriptures define for us who human beings are. Let the scripture define for us where sins come from. Let the scripture define for us what is the root cause of the problems that the people are having, and then bring them face to face with the root cause and a biblical solution that ultimately will bring them to Christ, and they will be delivered and transformed and made into the image of the Son of God. And that is a tremendous message to have. We're not confused. I was at the Creation Museum for the debate between Bill Nye and Ken Ham, and somebody said, I saw you there, and I thought, thank God I got a witness. Because there was a writer for Time who wasn't there. There were 70-something reporters there, but one person wasn't there, and he wrote an article, and he said, the camera scanned the all-white audience. I said, what? I was on the second row. Right? I was sitting right behind Bill Nye's wife. Just can't win, man. So anyway, I'm glad, you know, I had a witness. My son shot out a thing and said, Dad, I guess we wasn't there. Nah. But I got a witness, amen. But what I want to do tonight is just say to you, you're getting great teaching and great this and that, but I am really concerned about you making it for the long haul. And what Jesus had to say to this church at Ephesus, he's going to give two commendations that could be turned into three commendations if you want. And he's going to give one condemnation. But that single condemnation is of such critical importance to Christ that he simply says, if you don't get this one right, I'll remove your lampstand or your church. And my heart's desire for you as biblical counselors, those who are going to be giving and giving and giving and giving and giving, is that you don't burn out. That you don't lose the real source of joy and strength. That you don't lose priority number one. Now, I can remember a time when I preached perhaps my shortest sermon to a congregation. It took about 5 minutes. It was summed up something like this. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know where I'm supposed to be. I don't know whether I'm being an evangelist or a pastor. And I was pastoring the church. So that was pretty bad. So... But I told him, I said, I'm all I know is I'm leaving the pulpit and I'm not coming back until God tells me. I said, you can sing your final song and I'm gone. One of my deacons called me a couple of days. He said, Pastor, what are we supposed to do? I mean, you said you're gone. You didn't give any time. You talking about a week, a month, 6 months, a year? What? And I said, I ain't coming back till God tells me. I got along with God and began to refresh my heart in the presence of God. I didn't know the terminology, but they got a terminology for that now called ministerial burnout. See, I was working from about 6 a.m. till after midnight, 7 days a week. I was teaching the Bible. I was leading people to Christ. I was counseling people. I was going and going and going and going and going and going. But I lost everything from the inside. And the one reason why I did what I did, the reason I left my unsaved life and went into the church, is because Jesus Christ transformed me. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say to you, you cannot afford to lose that first love. The real fruitfulness of your ministry is going to flow out of that intimacy you have with Jesus Christ. So I want us to take a look here tonight quickly and to think this through a little bit. Great movement, biblical counselors, but I want you to understand that biblical counseling at its root, and hear me out on this one, I don't want anybody tweeting this. Biblical counseling at its root is not founded on the Bible. Hello. It's founded on the God of the Bible. Jesus said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you find eternal life. But the scriptures are they which testify me. So if we read the scriptures, teach the scriptures, counsel with the scriptures, but never meet the author of the scriptures, we miss the point. And you won't survive. So, let's take a look here at Jesus' words to this church from Ephesus, a great city in Asia Minor. It was a seaport city, one of the seven wonders of the world. It was the location of the goddess Artemis. Paul had an effective ministry there in Acts 19. We read of his ministries. He preached there, and that was around AD 53. And about 43 years later now, this letter will go to them at Ephesus. It had been given by Christ to John in, we call it Revelation, on the Isle of Patmos. And what I want you to note, first of all, is that Christ says to this church, he has some commendations, but I want you to just remind yourself just for a moment who's giving these commendations. The Bible says here in Revelation chapter 2, the angel of the church of the Lord at Ephesus, right? These things says he who holds the seven golden stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works. Now, this is awesome, beloved, because we've got the resurrected Christ. And he holds the leaders, I believe this is talking, the pastors of the churches in his right hand. He's the sovereign Lord. And he walks in the midst of the lampstand. That means he's in the midst of the church. He walks amongst us. He knows what's going on. He's the biblical counselor that doesn't have to take any data. He doesn't have to try to find any root cause. He looks right through you. You say, come on, Jesus, take out your notepad. I mean, come on, ask me some questions. He doesn't need to ask you anything. He knows everything. And so when he speaks, he ain't worried about it. You might miss it. You say, oh, this biblical, I got the root problem. It wasn't the root problem. He doesn't do that, beloved. He's got all the facts before him. He's the omniscient God. He knows everything. He doesn't need counsel. He doesn't take counsel. He doesn't need questions. He doesn't need background. He doesn't know what you need. Know what your mama was, what your daddy was, what your kids did. He doesn't need any of that. He's got it all. And he begins to tell us, now I'm going to critique you. I like to tell my students, this is exam time. Jesus is giving an exam. And I want you to note that with this particular church, he has some things that he commends them for. He says in verse 2, I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil, and have tested those who say that they're apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Now those are words of commendation. And I want you to note that he commends this church at Ephesus for their service. And they were passionate in service. I love that. I love it. I love it. He talked about how they worked and they were in difficult work and how they were fatigued, tired, but they didn't wear out. I don't know about you, but Christ commends that. And I love to be in a church with people who aren't just sitting on the pew and don't want to do anything. I love it when people want to get up and get involved. I love it when they come to biblical counseling seminars to learn the word of God so that they can counsel the people of God and transform them for the glory of God. I don't like these people just sitting around. Ain't my gift. That's what we pay the hired gun for. I might invite them to come hear him, but bless God, if anybody's going to get saved and worked on, that's what we pay the pastor for. You know, hold on. Read your Bible, please. Ephesians 4. You see, God has given these gifted people to the church that they might equip. Hello. Equip. Equip. The saints to do the work of the ministry. What? I didn't come to church to do no work. Man, I'd be working.